Wojcicki here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Well, what's the phone number? We have that here, 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, call me. Email, as you know, is sam@samnation.com. And happy, what are we now? Wednesday already. Live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. You know, I have a thought on this transgender military ban. I think that if you're against this cause, you need a different spokesperson. Not Chelsea Manning. I don't think that she is the best representation of what transgender people can contribute to the greater military effort here. All right, greetings. Let's get into this. Hot potato. What am I going to say? You know, I want to step back from this and apply a little bit of horse sense. That's a colloquialism for common sense, I think. You know, I, by the way, of the two arguments, the money and the distraction, right? It's in the Trump tweeted this morning. You know, it's basically both a distraction to the troops and also a financial burden to the military, and thereby to the government. I buy both arguments, but I'll tell you, I think that the distraction argument is where I want to start. Because unfortunately, it's a subjective test that applies. This means that somebody's open status as a transgendered person is a distraction only if the person in their presence or in their vicinity, the other men and women of the armed services find it a distraction. And let's talk about that, because right now, today, huge protests broke out. But they didn't break out. Where did they break out? They broke out in New York and some here in California. I mean, none of these protests were happening in Alabama. And Alabama is actually one of those places where we recruit a great deal of our men and women that serve in the armed forces. These service men and women work in very tight and confined spaces. I know this not because I've ever served, but we're just talking about this here with Robbie. Robbie was in the Air Force. I know you guys may or may not know that. So we're talking about some of his experiences, and then I have some guests from out of town here right now. They're visiting. They just went. I sent them down to see the Midway. If you haven't been in San Diego, great experience. You have no idea what the life in the Navy is like. You go down to the Midway. It's cramped. And this is a huge ship. It's cramped. You're tight quarters. You're already mixing men and women now, which I think is a distraction too, a side note. But it all comes down to what are these regular, you know, kids that are coming in from middle America who are not these Hollywood types that are now screaming about how horrible Trump is. And you're taking these kids. The military is incredible. These are people who come from very basic, humble roots. And they take boys and turn them into men. They do not take boys and turn them into women. The process of building, and is, by the way, true for women as well. I mean, it takes girls and just makes them into truly better versions of themselves. But that doesn't happen automatically. And for anyone that has been in basic training, you'll know. I mean, it's grueling. I probably couldn't survive it. I'll tell you that right now. Very impressive stuff. Why add layers of complication to it? And the objective of the military, as best as I can tell, is to kick the enemy's money, right? We want to be a lethal force that no one wants to mess with. That means combat readiness. That means you've got men and women who are focused on the mission. And this is kind of a, you know, this to me, honestly, makes sense. And why I always look back, I remember when Obama started pushing, you know, openness of transgender persons in the military, I thought, how does this play out on a submarine? How does this work? You know, we launched a big warship. Speaking of warships, we launched the USS Gerald Ford earlier this week, and it's the first ship to have gender neutral bathrooms, and it made news. I mean, that's what all the news reports said about it. But if you take the implication of that being news, you would understand that it's the only ship out there that has gender-neutral bathrooms. It is undeniably something that does potentially cause a distraction, because if it was me, if I was on that ship and there's somebody who's transitioning, let's say, I don't know if it wouldn't distract me. I don't think it would, at least. I spent some time picturing it this afternoon, and no. But it would distract others, and I don't want the military to be bogged down and to spend, you know, untold resources on top of everything else that they're trying to teach these young recruits. Sensitivity training on top of it. This issue is something that will evolve. Look at how far our country has come on the issue of gay marriage. Look at how far our state has come in a short amount of time. We passed a ban on gay marriage here not that long ago. And this, in my opinion, is a bigger issue with liberalism. They want it all now. They want to shove these issues down America's throat. They want the Boy Scouts to accept gays. They want the military to accept transgender. They want every institution to bend to their will. And who are we talking about? The New York Times, 1 year ago, published an article where the breaking news was 0.6% of America is identifying now as transgender, and it was news because it was double the figure that it was previously reported. So we are talking about just a tiny percentage of the population. And these bicoastal, these coastal elites here who are pushing this, they're kind of late to this party. I mean, it's almost like You got to have a pet project. They've got to have something to be outraged about. So, as most of America kind of came around on gay marriage and accepting homosexuality, I think we're kind of beyond that as a country. It took some time, but we caught up. And so they're looking around right now. They're going, well, shoot, man, even Republicans now are talking about gay marriage. How are we going to win the outrage war here? How are we going to be morally superior to these freaks on the right? Can't call them backwards anymore. What kind of a world is this? These Republicans are becoming liberals. So this is their latest outrage. And I just think it's nothing. I don't know. I get it, and I honestly, to all of you who are outraged by this, outraged with what Trump is saying, what can I tell you? Give it time. You don't need to. This is a lot of phony outrage, in my opinion. 5 years ago, this was not a new. It was not on your radar at all. Nobody was talking about this. And yet, with no one talking about it, was it an issue? If you served in the military, I'm asking you, was it an issue? Remember during the campaign and big talk about transgender bathrooms, and I forget exactly the quote, but someone asked Trump about the transgender bathroom thing. And his response was more or less, hey, I mean, has it really been a problem? I mean, you kind of, if you think you're a man, you go to a men's room. If you think you're a woman, you know, go to the other one. How is this, you know, I don't get it. Like, he kind of just, it was actually the perfect old guy answer, right? He doesn't get it, but it has this been a problem? I'm telling you, I think it's, I really do believe that what you're doing by, if you're going to allow transgender people in the military, and it's apparently been happening, and they're, you know, here's the story. If you've got transgender people in the military, is it distracting? And what's the source of that distraction? And I will accept your premise that there are that if people aren't okay with it, that it's backwards, right? That's the argument that you're making, right? If you're people need to get on board with this. My point is, if we are under attack as a country, I don't want to worry about that. I want our military. I don't. Yeah. So, all right. There might be some people in the military that are uncomfortable with it, that don't want to shower with a transgender man or woman. I don't want that to compromise our battle readiness. I don't think that this is so crazy. So at any rate, Mattis, you know, the Secretary of Defense here, had ordered a full review. And they're talking about this today, saying Trump didn't wait for the full review. He didn't wait. I don't know if he didn't wait for it or not. I'm not a fly on the wall, but the review that Trump is talking about is greater. It's greater than just the question of whether transgenders are in the midst. He ordered the review that was ordered by Mattis was a full review of any military training not directly relevant to warfighting. And I will tell you, I'm glad that this is happening, because I know from my friends that have served. Robbie is in there nodding his head right now. Producer Robbie, when he was with the Air Force, what did you say? 30% of your training consisted of stuff that was just nonsense, fluff. 60. Are you serious? Really? Yeah, briefing, side training, stuff that's not related to you performing your duties, but things like sensitivity training and all that kind of, right, all that peripheral stuff. Look, they're only, I hate to say it, the day's only 24 hours long. You've got people in those training programs for a fixed amount of time. So resources, time, everything is finite. When push comes to shove and we need to protect ourselves as a country, where do we want those resources going to? Where do we want our time in the classroom, time in basic training spent? Do we want it focused on making these men and women into killing machines? Or do we want to be worried about sensitivity training? Stuff like that. I think it's all pretty straightforward to me. So, the world, though, the press, sensitive killing machines. I got corrected. Well, the media is Trump. These tweets got fired off early this morning, our time, and the media is just in a full blown tizzy about this. Now, my theory is that they're so upset in part because Trump scooped them. It didn't get leaked. And I think this is part of why Trump is tweeting these big announcements. himself is he's so sick of everything leaking out before, you know, before they make an official announcement. He's made a decision. He's spoken to Mattis. He's spoken to generals. I hear these reports that the Pentagon, that people in the Pentagon are upset that this was premature. Do you, Robbie, do you buy that at all? That they were, I mean, I, it could be some low level people in there saying, but I promise you that this is something that that involves a consultation, and that where this is coming from the top. I mean, people in the military want to see some change. So anyway, let's talk about this. Also, Sessions, we've got some updates on that. Sam Rejofsky, back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. You know, there are a host of disqualifying criteria that prevent you from serving in the military, or potentially prevent you from serving in the military. I looked it up. I wanted to see if I, as a non-transgender person, could serve in the armed services. I was surprised that a number of branches would accept an old 37-year-old dude like myself. Turns out some would, so I'm good there. But you know that there are at least, let me see, the Air Force, Army, and Coast Guard all discriminate against me. You know why? You can't have more than two dependents. And I happen to be one of those really crazy people. You know, my wife and I, we had three kids. So that, according to the Coast Guard, Army, and Air Force, are just too many mouths to feed. Now, I have a question for you. Why is it that you can't have more than two dependents in these branches of the military? So I looked it up. There is a reason for it. It's distraction. That's it. Now, again, this is, you know, what's your answer? Oh, well, that's nonsense. And I would say that, too. I mean, I three kids don't distract me from my job that I do. But the military is a huge organization that has to apply, to some extent, one-size-fits-all rules. Does that make sense? Come on. I mean, that's how we do things when we have large bodies. And they're discriminating against. No, this is discriminatory. But a selective body such as the military with such a specific singular purpose has to discriminate in order. It's called being selective, right? I mean, the process of selection is by definition discriminatory. So at some point, the military brass or whoever decided that, hey, from our experience, people who had three or more dependents, three or more kids, were more stressed out, had more problems, took more sick days. I don't know. These are suppositions, but the reason, the official reason for this is that it's distracting. Go figure. So I can't. So again, I'm in it. If you're transgender and the military just told you no, I'm in it with you. The military doesn't want me either. At least not the Air Force or the Coast Guard. That's devastating. You know, the Coast Guard accepts people up to 39. So I could have really gotten into the Coast Guard, but for this, you know, I'm going to get rid of one of my kids. Kids, if you're listening to me, one of you is out. Dad's going to the Coast Guard. So Robbie, I hope you're ready to take one of my kids for me. Missy, maybe you? Turning them away. All right. I'm just kidding. Total joke, especially if my kids are listening. I'm a terrible father. Okay. You know what I find very interesting? And I'm curious to see what you make of this. You know, I mentioned the New York Times statistics, 1.4 million people in America as of June 2016 identify as trans. That's roughly 0.6% of the adult population, double any previous estimates up until that point. I didn't find updated numbers. I think it's still around that. That was kind of the last big study that was done. But what I thought was interesting is in the same time period, covering 2012 to 2016, there was a very comprehensive study done by Gallup. And no, I know Gallup gets polling wrong from time to time, but let's just assume that this is for the most part accurate. It's interesting. This is not just trans. This is LGBT, okay? This is everybody all in the same pot, if you will. You know, they broke it down by a generation. And I want to compare millennials to baby boomers. This is fascinating. In 2012, baby boomers identified 2.7% as LGBT. In 2016, baby boomers identified as 2.4% LGBT. It went down. And in 2012, millennials identified 5.8, and that went up to 7.3 in 2016. I want to tell you what I think about this when we come back, because these are very interesting statistics, and I think it's part of this conversation. And we'll also talk about the money, okay? Oh my gosh, my kids are listening. Sherry just texted. Oh, crap. John Wolf, help me out, man. Up next with the news.
KABC News live and local at 7:30. I am John Wolf. I wish my kids listened.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rajofsky here. Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 is the number. Sam at samnation.com. I had a tweet from a listener. Told me I smack my lips in the microphone. So I got to be very careful about smacking my lips. I'm very sorry that it's distracting you. And I'm going to be on my best lip smacking behavior. I'm trying, okay? But I was born this way. What can I tell you? Oh, speaking of this, I got to relay this fantastic story here. As I mentioned, my producer so happens to be a retired service member. This is so good. So apparently he had, there was a guy on his base. And I will add to it, can I disclose where it was? This was in Monterey. So we are talking about a base in California. This is on the left coast. This is not somewhere in the Midwest. And this guy on the base, we'll just say that he had a species dysphoria. God, I can't even say that. Try not to smack my lips. What does this mean? Do you remember the furries? You remember those people? Oh, God, I said those people. Human beings who believe that they are animals, fictitious sort of half-human, half-animal creatures. Well, he on base, this guy was wearing a foxtail when he wasn't in uniform. So you got a dude walking around a military base and he's got a giant furry tail stuck in his pants. So apparently this guy, he got beat up. Okay. He got beat up twice by some Marines. And finally, the base commander decided they changed their policy on tails from not having one to banning them. They said, when you're on base, you can't wear a tail. Why bring this up? Because 5 years ago, as I mentioned, the left was not talking about transgender issues. They weren't. The outrage was gay marriage. And I remember this because I remember in law school, the question was put to me, my law professor, Hugh Hewitt, who you may know, it was right in the middle of the debate. I think the Supreme Court was about to hear the gay marriage case. And my professor said to us, you know, what do we think? You think the Supreme Court should decide? And everybody said, yeah, I think the Supreme Court should decide. Absolutely. And he said, no, I think they should leave it to the states and let this thing evolve. We're going to get there. It's going to happen. It'll be evolutionary. And I was one of the people that raised their hand. I think, you know, I just thought that the Supreme Court needed to come in and take care of it and unify the country. And I had to kind of step back and think about it because it was an interesting perspective. So that was then. No one was talking about this. So let's say all this stuff with trans issues gets put to rest and we're all open-minded and embrace it and everything and everybody gets it and it's not a distraction in the military in any way, shape, or form. What will be the next issue? Where is the outrage going to move to? Are we going to start worrying about these, people with species dysphoria other kin, I think they're also called. Is that going to become our next protected class? Our next pet project? I had to. I really had to do that. Okay. It will. No, invariably, there will be a new outrage. There will be a new cause that leftist radicals will go after and will take up some small, insignificant, tiny little speck percentage of the population and turn it into a federal case and a national issue and a political football. I think we just kind of need to move on. Let these things evolve. Let people be compassionate. Be kind. But, you know, we don't need to necessarily rearrange our entire society around every person's, particular difference. Okay. I'll talk about the statistics, too, when we come back. It's very interesting stuff. Sam Rogowski back after this.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
Well, it's fair season out there. If you know me, you know how much I love the fair. That's irony right there. That's heavy irony. I'm terrified of the fair, and it's partly because of my friend Sweet James Burger. You saw this thing that happened in Ohio. A couple of people died on a ride. Just the ride came apart, threw somebody off of it. This happens more often than you would realize, and if you had a friend in the personal injury world, you'd realize you'd never go on a ride ever again at the fair. It's dangerous. You know, they put these things together. The carnies, you know, they go out there, take out all the parts, start putting it together. They always have parts left over. Does that terrify you? Do you want to go on a ride like that and know that there's a bucket of parts somewhere that didn't get put in? Just saying. So if you are at the fair, and you get bitten by one of those 4-H billy goats, or maybe you get thrown from one of these, you know, Gravitron rides or whatever it is, or you eat a really bad funnel cake and it does nasty stuff to your insides, you might need to call Sweet James. You do. You might need to get some help. So any type of injury, accidents, right, you get the point. You want to call James, 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Attorney Sweet James Bergner, his website, super easy, sweetjames.com. Give him a call. All right, Sam Nation, we are back. And, I had a listener here tweet me, David Salazar. David says, how is the military disqualifying people for choosing to have 3+ kids and being born transgender the same? Procreation, let me explain this. It's not exactly the same, of course, but there are people that end up having a third kid. They do. And then they want to apply for the military. They can't do it. It's immutable. They can't change it. My whole joke, I got to get myself out of the doghouse. My whole joke was saying I'm going to get rid of my third kid. The reason it's funny is because, of course, you'd never do that. You can't. They also, you know what? They also disqualify people who are too short or too tall. There's a range. What is it? Like 58 to 80 inches. You know, I mean, there are certain immutable characteristics. And I'm not disagreeing with the premise that being transgender is immutable. I get it. You are born that way. Fine. But so was my kid. My third kid got born, and I can't do anything about it. And if I want to join the military, you know, I need to get a waiver. It needs to go up the chain of command, or I need to lose the kid. And that is something that I love all my kids, so I'm not willing to do that. Okay, these statistics here I think are fascinating. And I was talking about how this is 2016 Gallup poll of U.S. adults identifying as LGBT. This is not just uniquely transgender, but LGBT. Baby boomers from 2012 to 2016, constant, went from 2.7 down to 2.4% in those 4 years. Millennials, however, our favorite generation, born from 1980 to 1998. Oh, that's my birth year, 1980. Well, we're going to gloss right over that. 5.8% to 7.3% in 2016. That's a huge jump. And also a lot bigger percentage to begin with. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of this? The fact that the percentage goes up could be in part due to a higher acceptance. But some of this is identifying, people identify as something some of it could be for attention too. I mean, why is it so different with younger people and versus older people? It's a huge difference. And the trend is going upwards. So I think statistics are interesting. Now we have Michael and Van Nuys. I'm right out of time, Michael. Please hang on. I want to talk to you next segment. So just give me 2 minutes and I will be right to you. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, talking about Trump's ban on transgender troops. We have a caller, Michael in Van Nuys. Are you there, Michael?
I'm here.
Welcome to the program, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great, Sam. How are you?
Good. So what do you make of this?
Well, I was on hold. You reminded me of a sidebar to my main point in that I watched the L.A. Gay Center press conference today. And one of the persons that spoke claimed to be an active Army reservist who was transgender. And the guy was obese and had a beard. Now, I drilled for 8 years as a Marine. And on vacation, you might not shave, but when you're out in the normal day, you shave between drills. Just because you serve 1 week in a month doesn't mean you don't shave. You have a standard to keep. And that lends me right into my main point. The military is not a social pyramid.
So this guy was an imposter. That's
I don't know what he was. He's disrespectful. He's not following the Army regulations by having a beard between drills. That's not right.
Interesting. So what do you make of this? What do you make of this order?
It's ridiculous. I don't know how people that are in the military have no clue how we live. I mean, I live four high in Navy ships. I mean, four bunks, bunk, four bunks. Packed in a section of ship with another 80 guys. My barracks had toilets with, forget doors, no walls. And that's a daily, that's just the type of thing you have. That's how life is in the military. It's not a place to play social experiment for your liberal policies just because you support gays or transgender people in your normal life in America. Don't put that in a foxhole or in a unit where it's a communal shower or a communal bathroom, literally with 10 toilets in a line against the wall with no doors or walls.
I don't think people realize this, and I've never served, and I've, you know, I closest I have ever come to this is just touring old submarines and old ships, and I love history. I'm a huge history buff, so I love visiting these type of museums. And
sure,
please, like if you're listening and you doubt what Michael is saying, go to the Midway. Am I right? I mean, go and look and see what it's like. It is tight quarters, and it's not up to you in Hollywood or, you know, or other activists out there who are, you know, left wing nuts to tell the men and women who are serving in the military what they are allowed or not allowed to be comfortable with, because it already...
Hey,
yeah.
You ever heard of hot bunking?
Oh, is it where you swap? You've got you're sleeping in shifts.
One bed for two people. So you roll out of you're doing 12 hours on shift. You roll out of your bed at midnight, and your bunk buddy rolls into your hot rack, and then you go to work for 12 hours and do the same thing when you come back. So out hot bunking, they don't have enough. There's not enough space on a Navy ship for a bed for everybody. I don't want Chelsea Manning rolling out of my rack and me having to roll in. And what if Chelsea's
well, for
in the
other reasons
with me
too,
and we and we don't have his estrogen tablets because we're 300 miles north of Baghdad. We're going to worry. Are we going to stop the convoy to get some testosterone treatments or some estrogen? It doesn't make any sense.
It raises so many issues that I think people don't realize. Michael, I've got to run. I really appreciate the phone call. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful night. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, this is such a, we went deeper into this tonight than I anticipated. I want to get to Jeff Sessions. I will do that tomorrow. There have been some new developments. So tomorrow at 7, I promise I'll get to it, because, as per usual, I've got some keen observations. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, this is it. We're out of time again. It's the fastest hour here. Every night at 7. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.